Foundation, Lord Harris's legacy will have touched almost all of us in the room. Policing can only succeed, is the theme of today's speech. Can only succeed with the challenge and the new ideas from bright minds like those in the Police Foundation. We're very grateful to the Foundation and to Rick and Sarah for helping us this evening. Thank you. So, 2 years on from coming back to policing as Commissioner and Deputy, we wanted to give an update on where we are with policing in London and some thoughts about what policing needs to succeed. I'm going to speak to you first about the context in which policing is operating in London, some of the challenges facing frontline officers and the support that they need to succeed. Lynn will then talk about what we're doing in London and the challenges and opportunities to reform policing nationally. As leaders of this incredible organisation, serving an incredible city, it's our duty and responsibility to reform the Met. Today we'll talk about the progress we're making, but also where we need help from others. We don't seek to deflect responsibility for success, but no organisation as complex and as essential as the Met can succeed by ourselves. So we're going to present a challenge to leaders across policing, ourselves included, to politicians, to others in oversight roles, and to the public media and wider commentators. The challenge is to support policing to succeed, because if it doesn't, the communities that we all protect cannot thrive. But first, the context. The same principles have driven my approach to policing since my days as a fresh, new PC in Birmingham, through the streets and towns and suburbs of Surrey, to London and the Met. It's done without fear or favour. It's done for you, not against you. It's done with you, not to you. Policing only functions with the consent of the people. And it's done with precision, given the disproportionate impact of a few offenders on the most vulnerable locations and people. Today, the joint effort between policing and communities is dangerously stretched, as our society is facing wave upon wave of new pressures. From public services under strain, the most visible symbol of which in London is perhaps the number of people living on the streets, or those in mental health crisis. From racial and religious disharmony, demonstrated by the rioting that occurred across the country only last month, and the tensions and protest in London related to the terror attack of the 7th of October last year and the subsequent conflict. And from new technologies which accelerate the global connectivity of crime and open new opportunities for new forms of abuse and manipulation and the proliferation of criminal activity online. These cumulative pressures amid a context of declining trust in institutions have seen absolutely unprecedented strain on the police. Calls to police on 999 have increased an average of 5% year on year for the past decade, now standing at over 12 million a year, with another 20 million contacts via 101 and online reporting. And there's been a massive increase in fraud reports, part of a steep rise in cyber and cyber-enabled crime, ransomware, data theft, grooming, stalking and harassment. Public order offences in England and Wales are running at 475,000 a year compared to the 150,000 just a decade ago, 60,000 in London. And there's a sharp rise in reports of high harm crime, such as child sexual abuse and exploitation, domestic abuse, and serious and organised crime, such as human trafficking. The College of Policing and National Police Chiefs Council now estimate 3,000 offences of violence against women and girls are recorded every day, with a sobering 1 in 12 women being a victim each year. A lot of these numbers, particularly for hidden high harm offences such as rape, are rising due to greater awareness and a greater willingness to report, and I welcome that. But we must meet that greater willingness to report with an effort across the criminal justice system to meet that trust by investigating, charging and prosecuting. Lynn will update you later on the progress we are making on tackling violence against women and girls, but there's much, much more to do. And as a result of societal and technological change, the The crimes we deal with now are more complex than ever to solve. Over 90% have a digital element. That requires officers with the right skills to investigate and the time to do it. And yet, in the last 15 years, there have been 3 strategic defence reviews. Countless strategic reviews of elements of the health and social care system, but no government-led review of policing or public safety. Indeed, the Police Foundation got ready to launch their own review, culminating in their excellent report early in 2022, which shows the gap in the market. In fact, for almost 15 years, the only central strategy for policing seems to have been to employ as many officers as possible despite dwindling financial resources. No meaningful investment in capabilities or in technology. In fact, capital allocations to policing were reduced to zero. So investment in technology required cutting operational budgets at a time of wider cuts. No investment in the joint of them would serve the disparate systems, and an actual reduction in the investment in training and leadership. Operationally, the long-term effects of no plan to keep pace with the world around us are most heavily felt by the front line. Most weeks, Lynn and I have the sad duty of contacting officers who've been injured, writing a note, making a call, or visiting them in hospital. I can tell you that daily around 18 of our officers are punched, bitten, racially abused and worse. Around 2 a week are seriously injured, including officers such as the 2 who were attacked with a sword in Hainault in April and whose bravery was so widely covered in the media. In one incident recently, an officer was driven at while trying to stop a stolen car, leaving him requiring extensive surgery. You'd hope this would be an isolated case, but sadly, it isn't. Some of these officers are very lucky to be alive. And most months, I have the solemn duty to lay a wreath at the memorials of fallen officers. And how does society thank them? With insults. I was scrolling recently through some of the comments and the posts about the Palestine protests the weekend before last. It happens every time we police mass gatherings. A riot of noise about injustice and bias. The police are useless, biased, pathetic, shameful. I'll tell you what's shameful. The abuse of our officers and the silence, particularly of many in authority. We should be very clear when people, be they politicians or the public, throw accusations and slurs at police officers. They put them in danger by emboldening folks. Some people won't care about that. They're the criminals. But everyone else should. I say to all those throwing insults, be very careful which side of the line you're standing. Indeed, you heard this from HMRC last week. See Andy sat in the front row. This is what they said about impartiality and policing protests. Quote, senior politicians should take great care to make sure they're in possession of full facts before making public statements that can have a detrimental effect on the public perception of police impartiality. We form the view that the polarised positions taken by politicians and the public sometimes leave the police in an invidious position. End quote. We police without fear or favour and for everyone. It does no one any favours for this to deliberately undermine to drive clicks on social media. Worse, we have seen this increasing violence against police officers. The National Federation survey earlier this year showed that 95% of police officers said that how the police are treated by government has a negative effect on their morale. That's just one indication of how they feel. The consequence is a growing crisis in police officers' confidence to act. And that makes us all less safe. It's not just about abuse and intimidation. The system we've created to hold officers to account has also got out of kilter. A stark example of this was the case of PC Fisher, who was driving to the scene of a live terrorist attack under the most unimaginable pressure. As a result of a mistake, he crashed and found himself under a long IRBC investigation. culminating in a one-week Crown Court trial for dangerous driving. Late last year, he was rightly acquitted by a jury. I can think of no other country where an officer rushing towards the scene of a terrorist attack who makes a mistake would be pursued and for misconduct and prosecuted over 4 years. The right answer would surely have been some reflection, some retraining and testing, so we could get him back to protecting the public. The system that holds officers to account needs to pass the common sense test. It should be timely, fair and respected by both officers and the public. It isn't. And I believe we're seeing the impact of this on our streets. Stop and search, an important tactic when used well, which takes knives and weapons off our streets, has declined massively. And the arrest rate in London is also reducing. We know that a third of our officers say that they have reduced confidence that has led them to voluntarily surrender their public order accreditation. A third say they're giving up their taser qualifications. And over a quarter, their firearm tickets. This means fewer officers doing the high-risk jobs that we need them to do. That risks London becoming less safe. Officers should know that when they follow their training and they act in good faith, from their sergeant to the commissioner, they will be supported. This is the approach in the health service. It cannot be right that in one part of the public sector, which makes life and death decisions, should be held to a different standard to another. Now, no one has been firmer on standards in policing than me. I've talked about them a lot. I don't propose saying more about that today. But there is no paradox, no contradiction in wanting to support the vast majority of officers who are delivering for the public in the most exceptional circumstances. Going outside policing, as I did before I took up this job for 4 years, helped me to see our workforce differently. Working with many in the private sector, from start-up tech companies to big four consulting firms, I saw better paying conditions, the latest technology and smarter buildings. But it helped me to appreciate more deeply the thing the police have, that the commercial sector doesn't. The utterly extraordinary commitment of our people to the mission. That is what the private sector might call a competitive advantage. We see it day after day, the compassion of dedicated detectives, the bravery of officers rushing towards danger, and simply, the stress of officers and staff in an overstretched service, not wanting to let communities down despite everything. But that advantage is only valuable if we can make proper use of it. So I ask some simple questions. Can we really say that we're currently setting up our officers to succeed? What are the foundations that underpin that success? It's fairly obvious this will include training, technology to meet modern standards and be efficient, equipment that meets the tough challenges on the street, buildings fit for work and the victims of crime, and leaders trained to the highest levels, supported by intelligence, coordination, planning and strategy functions that any big organisation needs. In short, fixing our foundations, which have become broken by a combination of budget cuts, growing demand, and the politically driven rhetoric that the measure of police capability is simply officer numbers. The Chief Inspector of Constabulary said earlier this year, there are still too many police officers working in roles that could be better performed by police staff. The uplift target is now hindering efficiency and effectiveness, not helping it. The government should abolish this target and allow Chief Constables the freedom to establish the balanced workforce they need. Providing the right service to our communities needs an appropriate, sustainable funding model as well, and one that recognises the unique challenges of policing in our capital city. Over the past 10 years, the Met has been trying to police more people with less money in the most populous and fastest growing city in the UK, at a time when crime is more complex and more expensive to fight than ever before. Indeed, Sydney and New York have budgets per capita around 50% higher than London. We are working hard to reform, but are doing so in a context where our budget is heading off a cliff. Given the financial pressures of the past decade, commissioners and mayors have understandably pulled every lever possible to balance the books. We can no longer do that. We've relied on our reserves to a level which is no longer sustainable. This limits our ability to invest to deliver efficiencies. We're beholden to an annual process of funding allocation which provides no stability or ability to plan for the long term and run an organisation with scale and complexity in that. Furthermore, since 2010, we've reduced the size of our estates from 620 to around 200 operational buildings in London. We did so to save 70 million to try and sustain officer numbers and raise over 1 billion. We cannot reduce that further. That source of funding has run its course. Indeed, much of our remaining estate is in a woeful state. We only have funding to refurbish our existing stations, believe it or not, every 120 years. If nothing else changes in the next decade or so, we expect to have to close up to half of our current buildings due to them no longer being habitable or legally compliant. Financial shortfalls have been passed from one year to the next and now landed in our lap, so that we're not only left with the damage to repair, but also a fit-out budget for next year of hundreds of millions of deficits based on our current assumptions. And believe me, officers are frustrated with the imperfections as the public are, but their commitment, and the commitment to thousands like them, is the reason I love policing. And they are the reason I know that policing will, with some help, succeed.